You are listening to Lone Star Community Radio, a 104.5 KCZW LP Conroe and 106.1 KZCC LP Conroe, and worldwide at irlonestar.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Weekly Business Hour. I'm Rick Schisler, One Best Consult, and your host for today's show. Thanks for joining us. I think we put together a good show. Hope you'll enjoy it. And as always, I look for your feedback. And remember, anytime you have a comment about the show, or you have a question for myself, or even for one of our guests, or even a question about your business, and I want to emphasize that, this is what I do. OneBestConsult.com. You can take a look at our website, and you'll find out that we're here to mentor and advise small business people and help them grow and make their businesses more successful. Before we get started, I want to thank our show sponsor, Allegra HR. Allegra, A-L-E-G-R-E, H-R. H-R, human resources. We all have human resources if we have one or more employees. And I always encourage my small business clients, get outside advice when you need it. Don't think you know everything. And when it comes to hiring, developing, encouraging, and if you have to, letting people go, you need some advice. There's a lot of great advice out there. The big guys take advantage of it. That's why they're able to perform. But Allegra makes it available whether you have 1, 10, 100, or 1,000 employees. So I encourage you, check out their website. AllegraHR.com is the website. Also want to remind you that we're on Facebook. If you haven't already liked us, we have a Facebook page, The Weekly Business Hour. And I would encourage and ask that you go to that Facebook page and like us at the Weekly Business Hour. And while you're at it, set up an alert so that each Wednesday when a podcast of the show is posted, you have a chance to receive an alert. You take a quick look at the synopsis we prepare, shows the guests, the topics. If something looks interesting, you can take a listen to that part of the show or the entire show. So please reach out to us on Facebook, the Weekly Business Hour page. Let me give you a quick rundown on who and what we're going to have on the show today. First of all, our special business entrepreneur guest will be Bruce Kuhn, owner of Southern Cross Communications. And joining us in the expert corner, we have Lisa McElroy, the owner of Allegra HR. And then finally, I'll close out the show with my tip of the week, what's under the hood of your business technology? It's my final in a series of business technology geared for small business. I hope you'll enjoy it. So at this point, I encourage you, sit back, grab your pad and pencil, and get ready to take notes as we talk about business right here on the Weekly Business Hour. Business events this week, what I'd like to do is digress a little bit and talk about a great community event that's coming up. And this really applies to people that might be listening to the show that either know, have employees, or you yourself may not be able or can afford to have your taxes done. And here in Montgomery County, we have a free service that's available. And it's available really all over the county. But coming up at the Conroe Central Library, which is at 104 I-45 North, right here in Conroe, on March, Saturday dates, 10th, 17th, and 24th, and again in April on the 7th and 14th, 10 o'clock in the morning till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's 10 to 4 on March 10th, 17th, 24th, and April 7th and 24th. The volunteer income tax assistance folks will be out and they'll be there ready to help you with your taxes. And I encourage you, before you go, either reach out to myself or reach out to Rita Wilt. She's the wonderful lady that heads this up. Rita's Meals on Wheels here in our community. But give her a call at 281-844-7596. There's a list of things they encourage you to bring with you so you can get in and out of the situation and get your income tax for 2017 prepared and get you out the door and back to what you do best. So I encourage you to take advantage, I believe, of a really wonderful community event here in Montgomery County. Well, opportunities are always right in front of us. It's really up to us to reach out and grab them. And the Weekly Business Hour, I like to believe, is one of those opportunities because it's where Montgomery County and businesses throughout the world come to talk about the latest in business news, ideas to improve your business, and to hear from some of our own local business leaders on how they have found success right here in Montgomery County. Don't forget that we also have a podcast available on YouTube. We have a channel, The Weekly Business Hour, And you can go to YouTube and take advantage of our video and audio and listen to podcasts. We try to keep those going back for 2 years. A lot of great topics. We've had some wonderful, wonderful business guests. And hopefully you can even encourage or find encouragement in my tip of the week as well. Well, let's get to the best part of the show, and that's talking with our local business leader, business entrepreneur, and business guest, Bruce Kuhn, owner of Southern Cross Communications. Bruce, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad to have you back. Bruce, just for full disclosure, was on the show 3 years ago or so. Show was a little bit different than Bruce, as you and I've talked about. And today we've kind of gotten into a great discussion mode here with our business leaders, business owners. And I know that you and I are going to have a great time discussing your business, which basically Southern Cross Communications is what it is. It's a communication right. business, right?
Absolutely.
Telephone's your primary tool of communication. Is
That's
that fair?
Correct. Anything from for office telephone systems. Ideally, you have AT&T, Consolidated, the Comcast, and Suddenlink, whoever comes to your place of business. And it's my job to take care of everything inside the business. So be it the cabling itself, the telephones themselves, even teaching people how to use those telephones most effectively. Anything inside your office is stuff that I'm expert on.
Well, let me ask you that. You mentioned teaching people how to use the phone. I've come to understand telephones today as being an extremely valuable tool. I know they were always considered valuable even when they were a rotary.
Right.
But they have a lot of features, a lot of ability to communicate. I even use a phone system that follows me. So if I leave my right. office, it'll ring directly to my cell phone seamlessly. Clients don't even know that I may be out in the country enjoying a picnic or something as ridiculous as that. How hard is it to train people today how to use those phone systems?
Not very hard. Depending on the system, most systems nowadays are being very user friendly. So usually it's very intuitive as to how you do something. But sometimes people want a little bit of hand holding and this is how you do a conference call. This is how you do your find me, follow me features that you're talking about.
Well, let me ask you one of the things with all these features. I mean, most systems, and I know there's still basic systems available. Mm-hmm. Don't want to mislead anybody. But do you find companies that seek out and purchase those feature laden systems? Do they use all the features that they can?
No. I've had in my career maybe one or two people who tell me, hey, I want to try to use everything possible. But I think I heard a statistic a few years ago that most companies don't use, I think it was like 75% of the features on their telephone systems. Of course, this was, 15, 20 years ago, but I'm pretty sure the same thing is still the case.
Well, let me ask you from a practical point of view, and I know every business is different. I'm a big advocate of that. Just like each individual person is different.
Right.
Each business has its differences, even though it has typically a lot of industry and business standards. Do you think it's a real advantage to a company to try to utilize most or more of those features than they do?
No, because there's a lot of features that some businesses just don't need. You hit the nail on the head. Every business is unique. Every business operates the way they need to operate. And what they do is not necessarily going to be the same way that somebody else operates, even in the same industry, because every office has their own personality. And, it could be that it's different as, sticking somebody on hold and hollering down the hall, hey, Joe's on line one. Or it could be a bank of operators answering the call and transferring out a call and forgetting about it, going on to the next one, just trusting that it'll go to voicemail. Those two different, setups, are unique to every business.
One of the things I've come across, because I try to always, as much as possible, have my mind open when I'm personally doing business, mm-hmm. whether it's a consumer or business to business, to look and listen to how that business that I'm trying to deal with is conducting business. And one of the things I ran into recently, using the telephone was, and it's a fairly large business and from what I can understand, fairly successful. My call was transferred to the salesperson I was dealing with, but then when they weren't available, which was fine, it went to voicemail, but it didn't identify it as their voicemail. It was just a four-digit or some kind of extension, which made me nervous that maybe the system, and it really did make me nervous to the point that it led me, wasn't the deciding factor, but it led me to go make my purchase from a different vendor.
Really?
It opened that door that I was a little nervous. Are they going to get back to me or, you know, is it the right place? So I took the time to look for another vendor and ended up doing business because the other vendor was available and communicated, you know, with me and I felt comfortable it would happen.
And that all goes back to the whole idea of end user training, because if the salesperson would have known what was going on, or if the salesperson had known how easy it is to update their voicemail, they would have done that. And that way you'd have had the personal, you know, hi, this is Bob. I'm not in right now. Please leave a message. Beep, you know?
Right.
That does make people feel a lot more comfortable. That and simple things like having a good music on hold source. If the person on the other end hits hold and you hear just dead silence, you're sitting there thinking, oh, they hang up on me? Or, you know, simple features like that, you know, can make a huge difference to a business's bottom line and the image that business projects to the caller.
You know, I think you make a great point because that image of a business, both internal and external, is so critical. Let me ask you, we've got about a minute left here in this segment. Update us. You were here 3 years ago. What's changed with your business in the last 3 years, call it?
In all honesty, not that much has changed. I have tried making a whole bunch of different changes, but bottom line is a very large portion of my business is subcontracting out to other telecom companies, which is good. It allows for nice steady business coming in, but it doesn't really help that much with growth. I have hired a few 1099 employees here and there that work for me on a here and there basis, in jobs that get a little bit big. As a matter of fact, I have a young man working right now with me down at Texas Children's for a company I'm subbing for. And he's doing an awesome job for me, and it's helping a little bit, but it just the business just isn't growing, and that's
what you're saying is the subcontracting business is just not a growth business,
no,
so to speak.
It's not.
Well, that's interesting. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as I mentioned, we're coming to the end of our time on this first break. We're going to go to commercial break here. A great public service announcement. Come back. We'll talk with Bruce a little bit more about what he feels are the two or three things that really will help his business grow. So we'll be right back with you.
Play a huge role in today's business world and can be a real challenge for small businesses. Alegre is a premier option in small business HR solutions and needs. Alegre HR advisors provide help to small business owners by allowing them to focus on operational needs while providing solutions that address all areas of human resources. To find out more, contact Alegre HR advisors today at 281-620-0713 or visit AlegreHR.com.
Hispanic Chamber Connections with Dr. Carlos Sanchez, President of the Woodlands Conroe Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, featuring event announcements, member highlights, and more. Tuesdays at 1 p.m., broadcasting from the heart of Conroe, Texas on IRLoneStar.com in Conroe's FM 104.5, 106.1.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Weekly Business Hour. This is Rick Schisler, your OneBestConsult.com advisor. And we're here in the studio with having a wonderful discussion with Bruce Kuhn, the owner of Southern Cross Communications. Bruce, when we went to the break, we were talking about your business, kind of jumped into how your business is broken down. You're doing a lot of subcontracting, you mentioned, but don't find the profitability or really the growth that you're looking for.
Right.
If you could offer our listeners with two or three things that are really important to you in growing your business, which you said you're a little bit off right now, but what are the two or three things important to growing Southern Cross?
I think one of the most important things that I'm going to have to get better at is budgeting my time. Right now I have I schedule my Mondays specifically for nothing more than back office work, and so that's kind of a big thing that I'm gonna have to start doing a little bit better. But I mean, we get into situations where it's the old story of feast or famine, and you get so busy in the weeds, doing the work that you're working on that you're doing, that you're not out prospecting for new business. And when you're not out prospecting for new business, you're so busy doing that, and then all of a sudden that business stops, and you come, it's like you're coming to the edge of a cliff, and you're thinking, now what? And so now you have to get back into the realm of going to networking meetings and calling on old customers, saying, hey, can I help you? Can I help you with anything? Or doing cold calls or whatever. You have to ramp that up, and that has a little bit of ramp up time, and so that kind of gives you the peaks and valleys that being a small business owner is famous for doing.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because in my experience as a small business owner and then working with a number of clients over the last 10 plus years, is it's either marketing or it's the back office, as you call it. In other words, getting the billing out and doing the collections and all the things that relate. Typically, we're pretty good at what we do best, whether it's selling or making something or whatnot. And the marketing part doesn't come natural to most of us, and it does have to have its own consistency, as does the billing and the collections. It all has to run like a finely tuned machine if you're really running. It's interesting. If I didn't mention it, ladies and gentlemen, Bruce is a solo. He implied that when he mentioned hiring some people on a part-time basis. But, most small businesses, if you take them by number, are people working on their own, and they do outsource maybe the back office, this, that. Bruce, give our listeners some pros and cons to being in business for yourself, by yourself.
Well, the big one is the feast or famine. One really big pro is, and you and I've spoken off air about some family medical issues that I've been having to deal with currently. Being independent has offered me a great deal of freedom to be able to take time off to spend time in the hospital with my wife, and that's been a real blessing. But again, the con is, while I'm in the hospital working with my wife, there's no income, because being a self-employed, you don't have the cush family and medical leave that employees of larger companies have. But there's still the freedom, and nice thing is my wife is very patient. She keeps saying, you don't need to be staying with me. You need to be out. She's pushing me out the door, and you don't need to stay with me all the time. And that's been a real blessing for me as well.
That's one of the things, perhaps the number one thing I've heard. We had a phrase, I think it's kind of done its time or worn out, work-life balance. I used to talk about that a lot with people, and it's always going to be there, the need for it. But I find if people are able to balance their business, like we were talking about earlier, the marketing, the actual production of our business, the service, and then the back office, if we can balance it, then we can put into that formula time, freedom to spend time with family, friends, do other things. But I always found when I was in business myself, the big thing, and I think your wife's situation, unfortunately, health issues, but you have the flexibility. You can always find a time or place that you can step away. And I think that flexibility is one of the things that people even, I talk to corporate people who want to go in business for self, and they really identify once we start talking about flexibility is one of the top two or three things that they're looking for.
And I've been really blessed. My customers, both on the subcontracting side and the direct sales side, have all been extremely patient and understanding with me. I mean, I hate telling somebody, I'm sorry, I can't take care of you right now because I've got to take care of. And when I tell them about it, they're oh no, family's first. You take care of what you need to take care of. We'll be here after you're done. It's been a real godsend to be in a community, a local community with people like that, because I know I'm fairly confident in other parts of the country we probably wouldn't have that kind of patience and understanding from customers or contractors.
Well, let me suggest to you, if I may, that it's somewhat indicative, I would suggest, that of the quality of the work you do and the service you've given when people are willing to True. Be flexible with you and been with you.
Okay.
Let's talk for a second, though, marketing. You're one of the people I really admire personally for how you've taken your business. You made a commitment, because I know we talked 5 years ago, or whenever we mm-hmm. first met, and about the commitment that you were making to networking and doing some things. Share what you've done and how it's worked, and any advice you'd like to give a listener about how to be solo in your business and go out and market that business.
Marketing, especially in my industry or an industry like me, I'm a business-to-business, a B2B. I have a little phrase I like to use. It's if you're a B2B, you need to be where businesses be. And I know it's a little corny, but it's absolutely true. If you're gonna market to businesses, you got to be out with businesses. You can't just throw out a radio ad or take out a billboard and expect a lot, because you're going to hit a lot of people that you don't want to really talk to, because I don't want to go into people's houses, or I don't have any resources to go into people's houses.
You're looking for business to business.
I'm looking to businesses. Networking has been a very strong thing for me, because you're in these groups, you build up relationships, and people get to know you. They get on a personal level, and they start to understand. And you can talk to them in a very relaxed environment as to, why this type of telephone service is going to be superior over this type of telephone service. Why you might want to spend $10,000 more on a phone system than go to a cheaper phone system, or how a cheaper phone system is just adequate for your business. It gives you a little bit more of an ability to sit down and be able to help the other person. You got groups like BNI, their entire philosophy is what they call giver's gain. And the whole point is, you're not in that group looking for a business for yourself. You're looking at in that group trying to help build up each other's businesses. And that's true whether you're in BNI, whether you're in the chamber, whether you're at MC Pros or in any of the other networking organizations that we have locally in Montgomery County. Those are all success in those groups is tied to the same thing. Everybody in that group is looking out for everybody else, and if everybody in that group is looking out for everybody else, then at some point, everybody in that group is actually looking out for you. If that makes any sense.
No, it does. And you're able to get business, but it's more than just attending a meeting. It's building, like you mentioned, a relationship. And the longer you're there, as long as the group's working for you, the better the relationships, and hopefully you become front of mind. I've found that to be very important in getting referrals, that people remember you in their day-to-day activities. Let me ask you this, though, kind of switch gears a little bit. Montgomery County area, I mean, we've got a good economy. Conroe has been designated as the fastest growing city in America at the last census report. Why do you feel there's good opportunity for what you do? I mean, it answers itself, but what do you see with this great economy that we're experiencing in this area?
Well, along with when you have big organizations like ExxonMobil and Chevron and moving into an area, you're going to have smaller support organizations that go into them. And I can support some of the larger enterprise level organizations, but my sweet spot is typically the 5 to 100 employees companies. So so those tend to follow along. Like in the old days, you see the old movies with camp followers. When an army, a horse mounted army goes somewhere, you always have the families and people follow. Same thing with the larger organizations. You have the smaller organizations that fill in too. And I don't know if that's the answer to the question you're asking.
That is. I mean, we're obviously in a same place. We've got about a minute left, and I think one of the things that I'm kind of curious about is technology. Been talking about it, blogging about it a lot in the last 30 days or so. What do you see in the near future, 3 to 5 years, if the technology with telephone systems, anything really changing about what they do?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we got a minute to talk about it.
In the last 4 or 5 years, there's been a huge sea change. We started out with telephone systems that were, the big room sized telephone systems that were back in the closets, and they would handle all the internal phone systems. Now everything's moving out very similarly to what we're seeing on the computer side, the IT side, out onto the cloud. So instead of having that big clunky phone system in your closet, or even the newer ones are even much smaller than they used to be, but even having the equipment in your closet. You can get IP telephones that are sitting at your desk, and they register to a phone system out in the cloud, and the cloud service basically handles all the phone line service and everything, and that is and there are some fits and starts because there are some problems, but in the way it is moving, that's in the next 4 or 5 years, there will not be phone systems at your premise anymore. It will all be a telephone on your desk that registers to a device up in the cloud, and that it does awesome things when you're talking about business continuity. You lose power, your office may be down for a short period of time, but you may be able to route the calls to another office. You might be able to bring those your voicemail system's still working. You can your callers don't have the ring of a business who has no power. You're still in business. You're not showing like you're still in business.
Well, I guess the big thing is the phone system stays in business even if something's happened at your business.
Exactly.
You're still in business. Well, Bruce, I can't thank you enough for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed this.
Well, if folks can want to reach out and talk to you about phone systems or even how you do certain things in business, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Well, I have a website, conroephones.com. I'm also you can also call me at my office number also rings to my cell phone, so it's 281-924-2135. It's as simple as that. And I don't charge customers for coming out for the first time and, just taking a look and seeing what you got.
Well, again, thank you so much for enlightening us, not only with a great business discussion, but about the future in phones. We're all in the cloud, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we're going to have one of our expert roundtable members join us, Lisa McElroy. We're going to talk about hiring people. It's a topic that's been reviewed often, but there are some real tricks to it, particularly for small businesses that don't hire by the thousand. So stay with us. We'll be right back with you.
Human resources play a huge role in today's business world and can be a real challenge for small businesses. Alegre is a premier option in small business HR solutions and needs. Alegre HR advisors provide help to small business owners by allowing them to focus on operational needs while providing solutions that address all areas of human resources. To find out more, contact Alegre HR Advisors today at 281-620-0713 or visit AlegreHR.com.
Hey guys, this is Connor.
This is Dick.
This is Chris.
And we're with the Ticket Stub Podcast every Thursday live at noon on 104.5 and 106.1 FM in the Conroe area. Also, anytime at IRLoneStar.com. You go to IRLoneStar.com/TTS. You can find all of our social media.
And don't forget, we give away two tickets to the Grand Theater on every show.
If you like movies and you like complaining or celebrating, anything that has to do with the silver screen, check out the Ticket Stub Podcast and join us every Thursday at noon o'clock on Lone Star Community Radio.
You are listening to the Weekly Business Hour, and this is Rick Schisler, founder of One Best Consult and a Silver Fox Advisor. I'm host of the show, and I want to thank you again for listening in. We're here at our Expert Corners part of the show. We've got a great expert joining us today, Lisa McElroy. Lisa is the owner of Alegre HR, HR for Human Resources, for those who don't know that moniker, but Human Resources. Lisa, glad to have you with us.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Well, you've been on the show before, and you're always full of what I consider very helpful advice, and I appreciate you taking time to talk to us about hiring. I think that's one of the more challenging things that most small businesses go through is the hiring of employees.
It's challenging for all companies, no matter what their size.
You know, one of the things that I've picked up, you sent me some material, which I appreciate, was what you called a rule of thumb. 100 applicants, you get 10 candidates, or should expect 10 candidates who meet the minimum criteria, and you get one hire. So that's something I'd come across very early in my career. And it surprised me at that time, and it still surprises me that the numbers have to be so high to get down to that one good hire.
Yes, and it has been in the not-too-recent past that it was difficult to get to 100 applicants. But with technology, you now have to, companies have to monitor how long their job ads are in existence because they could easily be flooded with applicants, and that just makes the whole process more difficult.
Well, you put together what I consider a really good checklist here. You have three sections. Kind of touch on those briefly, and we'll start with the first one. And today we might only get through the first one, and I'd like to ask you to come back, and because I think this is really, really important information for small business.
It can make the business much better, or it can just be a painful exercise. So we want to help them make it better. The most important part of a hiring process is just an accurate job description that's current, that includes basic pertinent details. It doesn't have to be a book. It can be one page, but it has to include a few things, which are as follows. It has to have a job title on it. It has to have the Fair Labor Standards Act classification, a physical capacity requirement for what that job is going to be physically doing in the environment it's working in, title of their supervisor, a job summary, which is a description of the role, the minimum job requirements. It's all important, but to me that is a very important part, and then the preferred skills, the education and experience. These are the only requirements, and if you get these nailed down correctly, the rest of the process is a lot more simple.
Well, let me ask you and kind of go back through this since the job description, obviously. And like you say, if you get this, this has been my experience as well for those listening, that if you take the time to develop a really good job description and then hopefully a candidate reads the job description, it's always one thing I checked out in my phone screen interview if they've really read it and weren't just looking for anything, everything, anywhere. But this job title, I mean, some of this information is required. When I see the Fair Labor Standard Act classification, is some of this required if you, if say the government for some reason wanted to look at your hiring practice?
It's definitely required if the government ever gets involved. They are going to want to know pretty much all of this information. The Fair Labor Standards Act, however, up front is really helpful for the business. And if anybody wants some specific, very detailed information, the website at www.dol.gov, and then do a search for salary basis test. And what that does is it helps an employer determine whether a job and the responsibilities that that job performs can be paid on an hourly basis, or whether it goes beyond a threshold and is required to be paid as a salaried basis. And of course, salary then falls into two other categories of qualifying for overtime, which is non-exempt, or whether the job is not ever going to qualify for overtime, which is exempt from overtime. So salaried exempt, salaried non-exempt, really helps a business put their money where it counts.
You know, this is the area probably as a practitioner working with small business, one of two or three areas when I talk to clients about hiring and building a better workforce, et cetera, that there's a lot of argument from the business owner. And the idea being I pay hourly, then the overtime situation, or if I can exempt. Of course, they're always arguing about exemption, exemption, exemption. You know, everybody's exempt. And that's just not true at all.
Right.
And it's important, those who are listening, to possibly take a look at this classification, keeping one thing in mind when you read, if you're ever bored, I guess, or don't have anything, read some of this legislation. I went to law school for fair disclosure, and we study this a little bit. And if you try to understand why these laws were put in place, like overtime, it was to enforce businesses, I guess I would say, to employ more people. And if you have the mindset to understand that exemption, exempt positions are going to be few and far between. That's my take on it. But then really study this stuff a little bit or get some advice from your lawyer, labor lawyer, but just get a basic understanding. It can work for you year in and year out, of course, unless they change the law. But let's go back. You've got a job to title. You've classified the job where it fits, which should become pretty easy once people take a few minutes to study it. Physical capacity requirements. You know, I always see things on job descriptions, 25 pounds, 50 pounds. I'm in an inside job, an administrative job, say a secretary or office clerical. Is this more of a CYA thing, or what does this really come into play?
Well, in the best possible case, quite frankly, it could be a waste of ink. But in a practical case, say an individual has an extended illness, they're out on Family Medical Leave Act, they're injured, maybe they're injured on the job. There's a number of scenarios that could occur where an employee needs to be cleared by a medical doctor in order to return to their job. And that physical capacity requirement, having been predetermined, removes the employer from any kind of suspicion of, well, you raised that, you know, a heavy box to 50 pounds, and it only used to be a 15-pound box of paper, and now it's 50 because you don't want me to come back. It just keeps the playing field nice and clean in a best-case scenario.
Yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense. In the couple of minutes we have left, minimum job requirements and preferred skills, minimum job requirements. Give us your secret to success there. as far as conveying the real message that we want to convey?
The minimum job requirements should always be as many minimum requirements to be successful at that job as the employer needs to list. But the key is absolute minimum to be successful at the job. So if you've got a data entry and you want to say it's got a 5-year minimum requirement, but really somebody with 3 years could do the job, then it's 3 years. This is the EEOC's condition between what makes an applicant. You know, you could put a job posting out there and get 500 applicants. This is the cutoff point for what makes a candidate. So really important to nail that down. Again, it can be pretty lengthy, but it needs to be accurate and specific.
And preferred skills, experience, education, what do you feel the key thing here is that when you take time to think through that one? That's a little more difficult for me when I try to do it. What's the importance there?
It is. Preferred skills are basically going to let the cream, if you will, rise to the top. Everybody who meets those minimum criteria become a candidate, but not all of those candidates, and typically not many candidates, meet all of the preferred skills, experience, and education attributes. The more you can list, the shorter you can make your interview list. But you have to keep in mind that you've got to have a really good reason to not interview a candidate who's met the minimum criteria. That minimum criteria is just ultra important.
I think in summary, from my perspective, and let you give your thoughts in 30 seconds to it, but the main thing I'm looking for when I put this together is that if I can get somebody to tick these boxes or most of them, then it really helps me screen down to the people that I really want to take time to talk to, which is such a valuable bit of my time. What's your thought on it?
Oh, absolutely. It saves the interviewer's time by letting them ask the right questions, focus on the right experiences, go to metrics for those preferred skills, look at, past sale quota experience, be really detailed. It really sets up that candidate for a great interview, and it sets up the company to have a great interviewing and recruitment process.
Well, Lisa, thanks so much. We've got to the one of three. Next will be in candidate selection. I'm going to ask you in the future if you would come back and talk to us about that. If folks want to reach out to Allegra, what's the best way for them to do it?
Easiest thing to do is just call. My number is 281-620-0713. And you can also reach us through www.allegrahr.com.
Well, thank you again for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to our final break for the day. And when we come back from that break, I'm going to offer you my tip of the week. What's under the hood of your business technology? So please stay with us, and we'll be right back with you.
Resources play a huge role in today's business world and can be a real challenge for small businesses. Allegra is a premier option in small business HR solutions and needs. Allegra HR advisors provide help to small business owners by allowing them to focus on operational needs while providing solutions that address all areas of human resources. To find out more, contact Allegra HR advisors today at 281-620-0713 or visit allegrahr.com.
Lone Star Community Radio is looking for those who are interested in hosting their own talk show. With monthly and weekly slots available in Conroe's FM 104.5, 106.1, and on irlonestar.com. Start your own podcast, create your first YouTube channel, and be on TV. Contact Lone Star Community Radio online at irlonestar.com or call the station message line at 936-647-3776. to take your first step into the radio world.
You are listening to the Weekly Business Hour, and this is Rick Schisler, founder of One Best Consult and a Silver Fox Advisor and host of the Weekly Business Hour. I want to thank you for tuning in today if you've been listening to the show. And if you've just joined us, that's great, because I always end up every show with what I call my tip of the week. And this week, it's I'm finalizing a series of discussions, blogs, video casts that I've done on technology and small business. And this week, we're going to summarize with a tip entitled, What's Under the Hood of Your Business Technology? And yes, I believe that just like your car, your technology has a hood. And what I'm trying to encourage you to do is to lift up that hood, if you will, figuratively speaking, and take a look at where your business technology is. I've talked about this in my previous podcast and video cast, but I just want to leave you with that encouragement. If you've been following that series, and if you haven't, take a look, step back. Like many things in small business, we've got to take time to step back and look at what's going on. Take a look at your small business, your technology that's running your business. And in this case, as we had a great guest on earlier today, if you happen to hear Bruce Kuhn, Southern Cross Communication, Bruce works with telephone systems, integral part of technology and business today. But there's so much more that's going on out there. So when you take stock, you'll be amazed if you sit down with a piece of paper and write down all the technologies you're currently using. I mean, some businesses use iPad. I had that experience myself this weekend of using an iPad to place an order. Other businesses, obviously cell phones, smartphones, become so important to business, particularly with salespeople, of being in the field. Or if you're a solo like Bruce, our guest, where he's away from the office, he has got his phones are forwarded directly to his cell phone. Other technology, you have special software if you're in a manufacturing business. Everybody has some kind of back office software. Some people outsource it these days. But all of this is part of the technology in your business. Even your signage can be part of your technology if it's electronic, where you're messaging constantly about your business. Write down a list, take an inventory, connect the dots for yourself, and then think about it. Where is it? Compare yourself to others in your industry, your local competitors. Take a look at where you compare in business. And then take that comparison and analyze it in terms of what growth, what's the growth plan that you have that you're comfortable with for your business. And then you step back and you want to look at all these things and analyze those with some help. And that's the area that I really want to take just a minute or so today to talk about. We are so, I don't know what the right word is, we don't want help. You know, we get lost, or they blame males for this. We get lost on a road trip. We don't want to ask for directions. Well, I find it kind of akin to that when I'm talking with clients, the folks I work with, and I'll stand up and take blame myself. When I was in business for myself, sometimes I didn't want to accept help. But I'm going to tell you, technology, kind of like tax returns, you need some help. Now, yes, you can stay up with all the technology. You may be a tech-savvy type person, and I think that's wonderful. But the reality is, most of us aren't. Don't be afraid to go out there and seek some help. And the place I encourage people to start, so it's not that difficult, is turn to your IT service provider. The folks that take care of your IT system, that take care of your computers, you will find that these people, if they're true focused IT providers, and I'm not talking about necessarily folks that just break fix, you know, you pick up the phone, you send an email and say, well, my computer's not working, this, that. I'm talking about the people that predominantly would be in an area field of managed services. This is the leading source of IT service today. I have a client, Westech Services, that's in the managed service business. You pay them a flat monthly fee, and they just take care of your computer system. They make sure it's running 24/7. They're working when you're not, and I think that's important. And what that's created is a setup that these people are familiar with all the technology that goes through your computer servers, whether they're virtual or on-site, includes the telephones, and can potentially includes those iPads. It includes any part of the technology, your point-of-sale device. And they can be great advisors of working with you to select the right technology for your business. Now, sure, there's some industry-specific things such as manufacturing software. that they may not be familiar with, but I would absolutely let them interface with the manufacturing software provider. So as I close out today, my encouragement, get an advisor, step back, look at your systems. Make sure your technology will make you be competitive and let your business grow as you want it to grow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. It's been a wonderful show. I ask you to please put a note on your calendar to join us again next Monday, right here on IRLoneStar.com at 11 o'clock. Remember, you too can sponsor the show. Just send me an email, Rick, R-I-C-K, at IRLoneStar.com, and I'll drop you some information. Look for the podcast of today's show on YouTube, Facebook, and many, many other social media sites. Thank you for joining us, and remember to stay in touch with what's happening here in Montgomery County, right here on Lone Star Community Radio. Until next week, stay engaged and keep your focus on what counts in your business.
Thank you for checking out this production of Lone Star Community Radio. Lone Star Community Radio is Montgomery County's community radio station. Don't forget to check out this show and many others across the Lone Star Community Radio Network, either live on Conroe's FM 104.5, 106.1, the Lone Star Internet Radio app, or IRLoneStar.com's live audio stream, and on replay on podcast, Channel 12's Our City TV and Conroe, or Channel 21 KVQT in Houston, and of course, their YouTube channel. This production is copyrighted and all rights are reserved by Lone Star Community Radio. Have a question regarding this program or other Lone Star Community Radio shows? Want to sponsor or start your own show? Call the station message line at 936-647-3776 or email the station at lscrstudios@gmail.com.